You are Locked On Vols, your daily Tennessee Volunteers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into Locked On Vols, your team every day. My name is Josh Ward. Thank you for being here today. As the week continues, Tennessee is just a couple of days away from playing in the Sweet 16. Today's show will look at more of what happened on Sunday, the story of Kyle Alexander and what he was able to do for Tennessee, and also the attention that has been paid to Admiral Schofield not playing there in overtime and in the final possession of regulation. A little more there. Rick Barnes talked about that on Monday, meeting with the media. Maybe a little more clarity as well. And also national recognition for what happened late in that game for Tennessee. So we'll get to that coming up in the first segment of today's show. In segment number two, a player who was really important for Tennessee in being able to hold off Iowa on Sunday and who will continue to play a very important role for Tennessee. It almost is a comeback story from where things were just a few weeks ago with this Tennessee basketball team. We'll get to that, and also guys needing to continue to play their roles to avoid the bad part of the second half. Tennessee was able to hold off the Hawkeyes on Sunday and get out of there with the win, which was the most important thing. But as you're aware, it got kind of dicey on Sunday. So I'll get to that coming up in segment number two. In the final segment of the show, some more national recognition for Rick Barnes. He wins a big award on Monday afternoon. And Tennessee football getting back to the practice field later today. What I'll be looking for when I head out to practice later today. That's coming up right here on Locked On Vols, your team every day. It's available on the new Himalaya app. If you haven't checked that out, download the Himalaya app and you can find Locked On Vols there, as well as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and your smart speaker can play podcast Locked On VOLS. I talked about Kyle Alexander and that just story on Monday's show. The fact that a year ago, he was not able to play in the second round against Loyola Chicago. Tennessee lost the game in a close one, and we came out of there saying, if Tennessee had just had Kyle Alexander. And I thought at the time, man, what a difference that makes in where he is now and where he was at the beginning of his time at Tennessee, to where the first couple of seasons, Tennessee would try to play Kyle Alexander, and at times he could help, at times they had to take him back out because he wasn't productive. And he continued to develop, and by his junior season last year, Kyle was a really important part of Tennessee's basketball team, to the point that he might have been the missing piece in Tennessee being able to advance to the Sweet 16. Fast forward a year later, and in the same round, the second round, you have Tennessee players saying, we've got to have Kyle Alexander on the floor. The player getting the most attention is Admiral Schofield because he was not in the game. And Rick Barnes was saying that Admiral told him he's got to be in. But Rick Barnes also said that Lamonte and other players were saying, we have to have Kyle on the floor. Listen to what Kyle Alexander said after the game, talking about Admiral Schofield and others, but Admiral mainly here, fighting for Kyle to be on the floor there late in the game to help make the difference to get Tennessee past Iowa. This is Tennessee senior Kyle Alexander Sunday afternoon.
It feels amazing. You know, I came in here immediately after the game and told him thank you for fighting for me, because personally there have been some games this season where I felt like I could have had a more of an impact if I was on the court, and he agreed with me. And you know, we didn't, you know, necessarily win some of those games, or you know, it was a tough win. So you know, he really fought for me today because he felt like I could really help. And, you know, I did my best to prove him right, and I'm just happy we got the win. And, I mean, I love him. Like, that's my brother. So for him to do that is big time.
Kyle Alexander talking about Admiral Schofield. So genuine appreciation you hear there from Kyle talking about his teammate, a guy that came in. Kyle was recruited by Rick Barnes to come to Tennessee. Admiral actually signed with Tennessee under Donnie Tindall, but they both came in at the same time. They were both freshmen at the same time and have grown together in Tennessee's basketball program. Genuine appreciation. And that appears to be part of the story of Tennessee. Jay Williams with ESPN noticed that as well. The story of Admiral Schofield saying, keep Kyle Alexander in the game. Here you have a senior leader in Admiral Schofield, one of the best players on the team, one of the best players in the country. And by the way, it's still debatable whether this is the right call, but the results helped Tennessee in the end with the win against Iowa. But just the idea that Admiral would say, leave Kyle in the game, he's the better option for us right now. Jay Williams talked about that from ESPN, former Duke point guard, This was something he posted on his own personal Twitter account talking about Tennessee.
Big shout out to all the teams in the Sweet 16. But something that I saw this past weekend that really inspired me, it really moved me, was what happened in the Iowa-Tennessee game. Iowa started this furious comeback. Admiral Schofield, one of the top players for Tennessee, got his fourth foul, and he himself chose to sit out the last minute or so in the game and also the whole overtime. Now, the reason he did so was because he felt like Kyle Alexander had a better matchup with Tyler Cook of Iowa, and that he felt like it would be somewhat disruptive to the rhythm his team was playing in. I really respect that. Actually, ego is your worst enemy, the more I started to think about it. And then I started to do even more research, and I saw that they live by a mantra. It's an acronym, I-N-A-M, where it stands for, it's not about me. They have it on wristbands. They wear it on their tape on their ankles. I like that. Respect, Tennessee.
Jay Williams giving a shout-out to Tennessee on Monday for the story of Admiral Schofield and Tennessee and the players in that team, which is something John Rothstein on CBS talked about as well, the makeup of this Tennessee basketball team.
And the one thing that really comes to mind with this Tennessee team is the resiliency. You can see them absorb blows and obviously respond in a major way. They're a complete throwback to what college basketball used to be. Juniors and seniors who have been together over time and seasoned a little bit each year.
So that's the story of this Tennessee basketball team. I think it has been, and it showed up on Sunday. And this does not mean that Admiral Schofield was completely cool with sitting on the bench and didn't want to be out there. That's not my takeaway at all. Admiral remained engaged during overtime. He was up as much as any player on that bench when Tennessee hit some big shots in overtime or made some defensive plays coming out of timeouts. Admiral was animated. He was engaged. But that does not mean he did not want to be out there. He was the guy 2 days earlier taking big shots late against Colgate. That's why I also mentioned it. I don't know for sure that it was the right decision to not have Admiral in the game, but the results speak for themselves. And the story is, at least partly, Admiral saying, this is what's best for us. And Tennessee's coach is listening to Admiral and the players. I say players plural because they were also fighting to have Kyle in there. And somebody else could have gone out. It didn't have to necessarily be Admiral, but that's the lineup they thought would be best. And Tennessee came out on fire to begin overtime and, you know, really kind of pulled away quickly against Iowa. So it's a story that's getting a lot of attention. There was some clarity provided by Rick Barnes on Monday because I think there was a difference. I was a little confused coming out of the game with the story that Admiral said, hey, leave Kyle in there. He's better for us defensively. They're going to come at me because I have four fouls. Kyle can help with defense and rebounding. And I said, okay, but in the final possession, you had the ball. Wouldn't Admiral be the better choice there? This is what Rick Barnes said, though, providing just a little more clarity on Monday, talking about Admiral and his decision to say Kyle's the better option for us. And then also there will be a follow-up question here on that final offensive possession at the end of regulation.
I really respect Admiral and admire him for that because, you know, he had four fouls and he was watching the game. He knew that once he went right back in the game, they were going to try to post him up, go at him and do that and that. And he was the one that said, hey, Kyle's got to guard. He's got to do that because at that point in time of the matchups. And so he was aware of it and he knew it. But he was as adamant as anybody I've ever seen about it. Kyle's got to stay in the game. He's a guy that's got to stay in there. And you do admire a player that's willing to do that. But he stayed engaged, and that's what you want to see.
You referenced Admiral not being in overtime, but on that final possession regulation, why was there a decision not to have him in that group?
Because of where we were. That's what we had done. That's how we, you know, we had made up our mind. That's how we were going to go with it, and that's what we did. You know, and I'm not sure there's any other thing that other than the time that we felt like that was the best group out there that we could play with.
So Tennessee's coaches decided that final possession, the lineup would be better without Admiral Schofield. In overtime, Admiral said, keep Kyle out there. He's the better option. And again, look at the way Tennessee was playing with that lineup. There wasn't really a need to make a change either. It all worked out. I think it's a really good story coming out of the game. And it's obviously a better story for Tennessee getting the win against Iowa than giving up the lead and then losing the game against the Hawkeyes. Tennessee will need to be better against Purdue. I think everybody recognizes that as well. There's also a player who was really good down the stretch, I thought, for Tennessee on Sunday and will continue to play a really important role for Tennessee moving forward. I'll get to that coming up in the next segment of Locked On Vols, your team every day. And you can find the show every day on the new Himalaya app. It's a new app for podcasts in an ever-expanding podcast world. You need Himalaya with their personally curated playlists and new features every day. Download Himalaya at your app store and subscribe to Locked On Vols, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. So I mentioned a moment ago, there's a Tennessee player who I thought was really good down the stretch against Iowa. He hit clutch shots, made really good plays for Tennessee, and I think we'll need to continue to do that, and that's Lamonte Turner. Remember, late in the regular season, part of the story with Tennessee, or part of the questions we were asking as Tennessee had lost a few games, was what's up with Lamonte? His shot was not falling. He wasn't playing as well as he could have for Tennessee. Remember, a year ago, he was the SEC Sixth Man of the Year, now a starter for Tennessee, but he just was really struggling with his shot. On Sunday, Lamonte hit what was, I thought, the individually most important shot of the game. When it was 67-all, after Bohannon had gone to the free throw line for Iowa and hit three straight free throws, Lamonte came back and hit a three to go back up by 3 points. Remember, Lamonte was called for a foul when he did not foul Bohannon. He had actually just blocked a shot, so that's a huge play. He just blocked a three that would have tied the game if it had gone in by Bohannon. The possession before that, Lamonte had attacked, gone to the free throw line, and hit two free throws. Clutch spot there to put Tennessee up three. So on back-to-back possessions, Lamonte makes plays to put Tennessee up by 3 points. There was almost kind of a two-man game for Tennessee with Lamonte and Grant Williams. I thought the two guys that Tennessee was able to count on the most late in the game, Lamonte and Grant. Earlier in the middle of the second half, Lamonte had, I thought, a really good play, driving to the basket, drawing two defenders, and dishing to Grant, who had an uncontested lay-in for the basket. At different times, Bone and Bowden struggled to take care of the basketball. Really, in the second half, everybody did, except for Lamonte. That was playing a big role. Grant Williams had a couple of turnovers in the second half. Kyle Alexander had a turnover where he simply didn't catch the pass, and the ball went over and back when he stepped on the half-court line. Admiral had a turnover. Bone and Bowden had two apiece. There was a shot clock violation. There were just a number of mental errors, which you are aware of at this point. You saw the turnovers that Tennessee committed in the second half. Lamonte wasn't perfect, but he was the guy, I think, late in the game that Tennessee's coaches counted on or trusted to make plays for the offense. And he was doing it on the defensive end as well. Rick Barnes talked about Lamonte and the way that he played on Sunday and what he can do for Tennessee. Rick Barnes talking about Lamonte and what he was able to do to help Tennessee avoid what would have been a really disappointing loss to Iowa this past weekend.
Well, you know, arguably probably the most competitive guy on our team. You know, I mean, and I've said it before he even started doing it, that I thought he could be one of the best defensive players in the country. And he's really, I think he really enjoys it. And I think he really knows that he can do it. But he had a great feel. I mean, yesterday both he and Admiral were talking, you know, during the timeouts we were coming over there. And I don't think coaches, or I don't think people realize how hard it is to get a team to really talk and really let, you know, communicate the way you want to. And this team has gotten to that point where they both just said, hey, we got to keep Kyle in this game. We got to keep him in the game some way, somehow. And I think the reason that they felt like that, because, you know, we were really having to extend our defense and that we didn't want to give up the three-point shot to them. They knew they needed somebody back there to try to protect the rim. But he was so locked in yesterday, Lamonte, where he just, you know, he was just talking about what he had to do and what we had to do. And it's great watching how far those guys have grown with that, because they were – I mean, I thought it was pretty neat hearing them talk. And, you know, during one of the timeouts, I heard Admiral say, hey, man – we got to get Grant the ball. Got to get it to him. Some way, somehow, whatever we have to do. Because, you know, this time of year, it's you're not going to probably get your first, second, third option. And so you're going to have to really work through a possession to do it. But when a team's locked in like that, one, you admire it and you appreciate it.
So Tennessee was not completely locked in throughout the second half. Again, look at the issues, the mistakes that Tennessee was making. And Iowa did come back. Iowa did erase that deficit completely. in the second half. Iowa never led, which is really kind of a funny part to me of it, that the Hawkeyes, as much as they pushed back and they forced the game to go to overtime, Tennessee led the whole way, or the game was tied. But the communication part, hearing Rick Barnes talk about Lamonte talking, and again, I mentioned Admiral remained engaged in overtime. At the very end of the game, the final minute or so, he did go sit on the floor at the end of the bench. But during timeouts, you could see that they were talking. And early on when Rick Barnes was at Tennessee, this may have been before the start of his first season, he came on Sports 180 with us, the show I do 12 to 3 every day on the Sports Animal. And one of the things that Rick Barnes said was going to be so important was to develop communication among the players. This was a program that was really trying to put things back together after Konzo Martin had left, and then the year with Donnie Tindall, and then Rick Barnes came in. You had a lot of roster turnover. And with Lamonte, he was actually a part of the program, but he sat out that year. So you had Lamonte, Kyle Alexander, Admiral Schofield, and then moving parts over the next couple of years with players coming in, players who were leaving the program, that getting communication to where it needed to be, where players were talking, literally talking about what was going on, what they were seeing, what they needed to do on the court and off the court, whether we're talking about in practice or in timeouts, that communication was just going to be one of the main challenges for Rick Barnes and his coaching staff. And here we are 4 years later talking about Tennessee being able to survive in advance. That's what we call it in the tournament, right? That communication was a part of that. It's not the reason. There are a number of reasons Tennessee has gotten to the point that it has been. Part of it is player development. You just have good basketball players out there, better basketball players than you had 2 and 3 years ago. But the communication is a big part of it, and Lamonte is an important part of it. He's a redshirt junior, but Lamonte has been here along with Kyle Alexander and Admiral Schofield during the entire Rick Barnes era at Tennessee, and that's why I think the players are so comfortable. Do they get along 100% of the time? Do they agree with each other 100% of the time? There's no way. That can't possibly be the case. But they're comfortable enough to communicate, to talk things out, to figure things out. And while Admiral probably wanted to be in the game, I'm sure he didn't want to be sitting on the bench. It didn't keep him from supporting Tennessee and his teammates, his brothers, as they seem to call each other, out there on the floor. And that's a big thing for Tennessee. That needs to continue, though. Lamonte has to stay locked in, offensively and defensively. We spent a lot of time talking about the offensive side, but Tennessee playing better on defense can create opportunities on offense. It goes both ways. When Tennessee makes mistakes on offense and the opposing team, Iowa in the second half on Sunday, is able to make plays defensively, it creates easier opportunities offensively. And that helped Iowa get back in it the other day. Against Purdue, that cannot happen. Purdue's one of the best teams in the country. We continue to see, whether it's point spreads or numbers from ESPN, the BPI, give Purdue a slight advantage over Tennessee. KenPom.com has Purdue by 1 point over Tennessee. The Vegas point spread, Tennessee by 1 over Purdue. This is a game that can go either way. Mental mistakes, lapses on defense, not talking, communicating, not being locked in, that could cost Tennessee on Thursday night. The reverse, Tennessee being locked in for 40 minutes, well, that can give Tennessee a chance to go to the Elite Eight, most likely taking on Virginia with a chance to go to the Final Four for the first time in program history. I'll be talking more Tennessee and starting to look more at the matchup with Purdue over the next couple of days. I'll have Wednesday and Thursday show to help you get ready for a big game coming up at about 7:30 on TBS on Thursday night. Tennessee, the 2 seed versus 3 seed Purdue. Coming up in the final segment, a big honor for Tennessee basketball coach Rick Barnes, and Tennessee's football team gets back to the practice field later today. Practice number 6 this spring. I'll get to that coming up next right here on Locked On Vols. If you have time to rate and review the show, please do so. Rating and reviewing the show can help other Tennessee fans find it and keep spreading the word. Thanks to everybody who has done something to review the show or tell your friends or family about Locked On Vols. It is a daily Tennessee podcast, 5 days a week, talking about what's going on with UT. Ahead of a little Tennessee football talk with the Vols getting back to the practice field later this afternoon, one other basketball note. It was announced right at the start of Rick Barnes' press conference on Monday that he has been named the National Coach of the Year by the U.S. Basketball Writers Association. And think about Rick Barnes 4 years ago. He is leaving Texas. Texas decides it's ready to move on and replace him with Shaka Smart. Things have not gone so well there since then. And for Rick Barnes, four seasons later, he has Tennessee in the Sweet 16. So he's back in the Sweet 16 for the first time in 11 years after all he accomplished at Texas and other stops before that. And now is named the Coach of the Year by the Basketball Writers Association. Rick Barnes talked about that on Monday, winning the Coach of the Year award.
I don't know if it's really soaked into me yet, to be quite honest with you. I was surprised when I heard that. But I think it's a direct result of our program and our team. And I think that sometimes when head coaches, the awards are there. But I can't tell you how much Rob Lanier and Mike Swartz and Desmond Oliver and Brian Lentz, all when you go down, those guys are important to our program. And because I'm the head coach, it comes up. But the fact is, I cannot say I could feel good about that award without thinking about those guys, because I know how much they do to help prepare this program and these players. And so I look at those individual awards just like I do with Grant Williams being Player of the Year. I think those are team awards. I really do, because Grant can't get done what he gets done if other guys don't do their job. And so even though they're tabbed as individual awards, they really are, when you're playing a team sport, they really are team awards. And at this point in time in my career, you know, you never know how many more years you're going to coach or do this or do that, even though in my mind I don't see myself not coaching, you know. But again, it's a great honor. It really is, but I think it's an honor for all of us.
Tennessee basketball coach Rick Barnes. He's right. Tennessee winning helps Rick Barnes win an award. Tennessee winning helped Grant Williams become a two-time SEC Player of the Year. If Tennessee had five less wins, I don't think Grant's winning the Player of the Year award in the league. And they go together. Tennessee wins those games largely because Grant is as good as he is. But it's team recognition. Last year, when Lamonte was the sixth man of the year, he deserved the recognition. But Tennessee being as good as it was helped him get that recognition. So it all comes together for Tennessee, and I think all the recognition, the awards that the players and Rick Barnes are winning, I think it's all deserved as well. Tennessee's football team will be back on the practice field this afternoon. It'll be practice number 6 this spring, and I will tell you, we don't see that much. The media is there for a few periods of practice, 2 or 3 periods early on while they're doing individual position group work. But I think one of the first things I'll be watching will be on the defensive side. One, what is Jeremy Pruitt's involvement? We've seen him work with the defensive backs. We've seen him work with the defensive line. He moves all over. He'll work with or be around every position group, offensively and defensively. But a lot of the attention has been on the defensive side, because Jeremy's almost the head coach of the defense, with Jim Chaney being the head coach of the offense. It's not exactly that way, but it can kind of have that feel or that vibe on the practice field, the way that things are kind of split up. Again, that's why we are there. But also, a couple of weeks ago, remember at the start of the second week of practice, Jeremy Pruitt was not happy with the way that the defense had performed and said that the offense was ahead and was kicking the tail of Tennessee's defense. Do things look better on the defensive side? The defensive line continues to be a big work in progress, and a week off for spring break probably did not help the defensive line or the defense overall take a big step. But they've had a week of practice since Jeremy Pruitt made those comments, and 2 weeks will have passed. Do things look any better for the defensive line? They have questions at every position group. The defensive line, linebacker, how many guys do they have that they can count on to be playmakers? And then in the defensive backfield, how deep can they really be? They're deep in terms of numbers, but there are a lot of young guys, sophomores and freshmen, who Tennessee will be counting on. You have veterans in Baylen Buchanan and Nigel Warrior. They've played the most football back there. You also have the Kenneth George situation, where I don't expect to see him out there on the practice field. Perhaps tonight after practice, we'll get an update from Jeremy Pruitt on Kenneth George. Is he a part of the team? Is he suspended still? What exactly is the status there? But the defense, I think, is the biggest question. Offensive development will still be very important, and watching the offensive line and what kind of either combinations they're putting together or which guys are practicing at which positions, because they've had guys practicing inside and outside, which I would say is very common among teams during the spring. But competition is very real on the offensive line, because I think when we get to the fall, when we get to August, we're going to be talking about 8 or 9 guys trying to lock down 5 starting positions. That's going to be one of the biggest competition battles, especially with Wanya Morris and Darnell Wright battling to play right away. So competition on the practice field, I think that's a big storyline with both sides of the football. And Jeremy Pruitt meeting with the media later this evening, you'll hear from him on tomorrow's show. So starting to look ahead to Tennessee and Purdue and more Tennessee football talk as the Vols get back out there for practice number 6. They have 15 practices this spring that will include the orange and white game coming up April 13th. Thanks for being here on Locked On Vols, your team every day. Remember, it's available on the new Himalaya app as well as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and your smart speaker and smartphone. Just tell it to play podcast Locked On VOLS. Thanks for hanging out here today, and I'll see you tomorrow.